Have you ever stormed into an office?
No,
ever?
I'd love to storm in.
Oh, you've probably, you've stormed into a coach's office.
Plumberies.
Yeah, I've stormed into a couple offices.
This storming. Well, you could storm in, though, if you got a guaranteed contract, you're making millions. Paul Maurice, he didn't have the clout to get rid of you.
Well,
right?
Clout to
play. He gave me an assistant captain, and he ripped it off after one game because I smashed my stick over the glass. Got an extra two. They scored. Game over. There goes the A.
And you stormed in.
Yeah. And I gave it to him.
How did he respond?
Yeah, he said it wasn't my call. So that basically means Jimmy Rutherford told him to tell me to get it off my jersey.
So why didn't you storm into Rutherford's office?
That's a stretch.
It's a stretch Jimmy to storm the GM.
He had the power to get rid of you.
Yeah.
And make you eat it, potentially. Whose office do you wish you could have stormed into 23 years ago this week?
Bob McKenzie's.
Because he sewered you?
Because of the sewer job.
There are a few players in the draft as inconsistent as Guelph Storm center Jeff O'Neill.
No, I like the AWOL comment. I think that one is the... That's
the real stinger for you?
Stinger.
He has the ability to go AWOL. His competitive spirit goes totally AWOL at times. Sometimes it's only for a shift, sometimes an entire game. Here's Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider, brought to you by Finance. Do you remember what you were doing 23 years ago this week, Bob?
And sometimes it's for an entire show.
Yeah, that's the modern sales pitch.
So let me get this straight. The guy who coined the phrase "mail it in Friday" is a little perplexed that I might have suggested that his consistency was a little bit lacking.
Well, I mean, it was just the timing of it. I mean, I'm about to get drafted.
I know.
That's a million dollar scouting report. Lost.
I will be honest with you. A couple of things. Number one, when I used to write those, as I was writing them, I used to feel bad for the kids that I was writing them about. But I'm like, hey, I didn't make the rules. I'm not the one who thrust 18 year olds into the spotlight, and it goes with the territory. So I kind of got over that fairly fast. And the second thing is, You obviously weren't going number one. It wasn't my scouting report. And this is maybe part of the problem. You think that I actually had something to do with you dropping in the draft. And that's not true.
Well, Central Scouting had me as one.
Yeah, Central Scouting has lots of guys at one, but that just means they were probably right, because if you look at the guys that were taken before you, for the most part outside of Eddie Joe was a real good NHL defenseman, obviously. But, I mean, Radek Bonk, give me a break.
Bonk Senior.
Yeah, how did that one work out?
Here's what I would say about that. I agree with you, Bob. You may not have cost him that top pick, but the scout you quoted... He potentially cost him it, because the scout was quoted as saying he can play a high skill game with grit. He can also go from great to horse bleep real fast. End quote.
It's a cruel world, isn't it, Jeffy?
Oh man,
it all worked out in the end, Bobby.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did, my friend. Yeah, yeah. And all kidding aside, you had quite a career. And now you've got another one.
That's right.
No kidding, man. He's bringing it to new levels. The whole broadcasting game is changing. What's it like to be in the hometown of an NHL team down in Vegas?
Hot. I think it's 117 Fahrenheit right now.
Oh, that's gross.
But I'm not spending too much time outside, so I shouldn't be complaining about the weather.
Don't you know it's about the day pool there?
Yes. I've seen the pools, but I'm working too hard. Oh, I'm trying to keep my consistency up. I don't want to go from outstanding to horse bleep in a bit.
Well played. Yes. Smart move. So is it buzzing down there? I mean, what's going on down
that's
there?
That's a good question. It's always buzzing. I mean, it's the same when you go to Nashville for the Cup Final. It's going to buzz whether the Cup Final's there or not, and Vegas is going to buzz whether the awards and the team are here. But it's a fun place. It's a good spot to be. And I'll tell you what, the hockey world is buzzing because there's you know, so many balls in the air right now with this Vegas thing. We've been, you know, reporting as best we can pieces of deals we think are happening. A little while ago I said I'm pretty sure Minnesota has a deal. I think they're the seventh team that we're aware of. I think now there's getting wind, and it's not, nothing's firm, and it's more speculation than anything, but I think the number's closer to eight. The Florida Panthers probably also have a deal with the Las Vegas Golden Knights to take certain guys or not take other guys, and I'm not sure what goes with it, but there may well be an eighth team that already has a prearranged deal with Vegas.
Bob, we've been complaining back here because you're watching the NBA kind of all hell break loose. There's deals left and right, and the NHL has kind of a gag order, and it's, yep, you know, that's the one thing. Do you believe, and I know the NHL really doesn't care too much about this, but the optics of it, wouldn't it be amazing to just kind of have a few things trickle out? If you're George McPhee and you want to drive up the price, you maybe just leak something to yourself or somebody else that, the price tag for to leave Josh Manson alone is a first rounder and a high prospect. All of a sudden, a team that wants to acquire him, you start getting some play and maybe driving those prices up. But it's the gag order that's kind of frustrating everyone. Do you sense that?
Well, here's what I think. And I have no way of proving this, but I think that the eight deals that I'm talking about, and this includes, you know, the Anaheim deal you just referred to, from the layoff Manson, maybe take Clayton Stoner, the Columbus deal where David Clarkson's money could be had to Vegas for a first-round pick, the Islander deal where Grabowski's money is going to Vegas for a first-round pick and to lay off the good forwards that are there. And there's Pittsburgh. I don't have the list right in front of me, but and we mentioned most recently Minnesota and Florida. I believe that all these deals were cut before the lists were submitted. I think that I think those ones are in the bag and have been in the bag for a while. I think what you're seeing now is, and again, it's not being done publicly, and maybe we'd have more fun if it was, but I think what you're seeing is there's teams that are calling now and saying, hey, I kind of like this guy. Can you pick that guy for me? And because he's exposed, and I'll give you this to pick him. So, you know, everybody's wondering, what was George talking about when he mentioned Lou Lamoriello's name? That was a weird one, by the way, because George usually doesn't say too much to begin with. He's not a general manager that likes to air his stuff in public. And then to mention one of the most secretive general managers in the league that you're talking to him, that was, you know, a lot of people kind of thought that was maybe a smokescreen. You know, is that designed to do exactly what you just said, Noodles? And that is, you know, maybe make Ottawa think that Toronto's interested in Mark Methot, so Pierre Dorion better offer more to get Vegas to lay off Methot, or is it a legit thing where Toronto and Vegas are actually talking, and as Frank Cervelli and some others have reported, maybe Colin Miller in Boston is right, available. You know, he's a guy that the Leafs brass will be well familiar with. He played for Kyle Dubas and I believe Sheldon Keefe up in Sault Ste. Marie, and kind of is an analytics darling in terms of the kind of defenseman that he is. So, you know, is that something that maybe the Leafs will work on? So we don't know the answer to those questions, but, you know, maybe that was a little bit of game playing there, or maybe it was an actual, you know, just telling people that, hey, Lou and I are talking.
Well, if you're right in that breakdown, Bob, that these deals were in the bank before the list came out, I don't see how George McPhee is going to avoid criticism, or at least second guessing as to why you wouldn't leverage these potential players.
Well, once... but the leverage happened before, because they know what's going on. Like, the, you know, George McPhee and Kelly McCrimmon and the guys that work for Vegas, they know what everybody's list is going to look like. They know who's going to be protected and who's not going to be protected, and who's in an exposed area. So, you know, they knew right away that, you know, some of these teams have a soft spot and will go at that soft spot. And that's where these deals got done, on the threat of that soft spot. So, and that's why the list can be really misleading, because if my point is correct, and if these deals were done ahead of the list going in, you know, Garth Snow's taking it on the chin because people are saying, oh, what's he doing? He's leaving Brock Nelson. He's leaving Ryan Strome unprotected. Well, he's leaving guys unprotected because he knows that they can't be taken because he's got a deal. He's got protection. It's just it's a facade. The list could be a facade if there's protection in place. And, you know, same thing in Pittsburgh. I mean, I think Jimmy Rutherford's known for a long time. He's got a deal that Las Vegas has taken Marc-Andre Fleury. It's a done deal, and it has been for a long time. So when Brian Rust and Ian Cole and some of these other guys in Pittsburgh, who you might say, oh, that might not be a bad pick, that might not be a bad pick, you know, Jimmy's laughing because he knows already what's going to happen. Fleury's getting picked, and you only lose one guy.
Well, and I get that. I understand that. I guess what I'm saying is maybe the second guessing will be fan bases of other teams that didn't pay that price. And what I mean by that is using Anaheim because we talk about them all the time.
Right.
There's a belief out there they've worked out deals so that Vegas won't take Manson or Vatanen. Well, if those deals are somewhat underwhelming, I think people in Toronto are going to be saying, wait a minute, they gave him a second rounder not to take Manson? I'll give him first and a cap in Kapanen for him.
Right. Yeah.
Like, why would you let that happen?
You're right, and that's what everybody has to do. And that's why until we see who's got deals, what they are, all those things, then you're right, we can't fairly judge or whatever. We're kind of operating in a vacuum here without a lot of knowledge.
Well, we brought this up earlier as well. Brian Boyle was on Leafs Lunch earlier today, the most recent fourth line center for the team, but he's a UFA. He's 32. I thought he fit in well. I could make sense of the Leafs looking at trying to bring him back. I'm not sure what the parameters of that deal would be. Nothing too crazy. He's a fourth line player. But if Boyle decides to walk, I think they need to address that position because Gauthier is injured and he's not going to be ready to play. I'm not sure he's a guy you can bank on at all this year. Ben Smith clearly is not the answer. Is there potential here that from a Leaf perspective, we're focusing on the wrong trade? We believe Lamoriello's calling about a defenseman, but maybe he's calling about a centerman that's available, saying pick him up and we'll take him off your hands and there's your fourth line center via Vegas as opposed to via maybe free agency in July.
Anything's possible. I don't have any knowledge of it. Your guess is as good as mine. And I'm trying to think if, you know, again, without going through the list player by player, team by team, see who might fit that bill. I'm not really quite sure. But on the Boyle thing, you know, you're right. With Freddie the Goat going down with a really significant injury at the end of the season there, and not going to be ready until who knows when, November, December, whatever the case may be, where I wouldn't have been in the mode to give Brian Boyle a multi-year deal. I still wouldn't give him 3 years if he's looking for three. I don't think I would. But I might be inclined if I were the Leafs, especially because Mike Babcock trusts that player, Boyle, so much that, you know, maybe a two-year deal is not out of line. And if that's enough for him to want to stay or compared to what he might get on the open market, those are things, if I were the Leafs, I'd certainly be looking at.
I'm with you on that. We'll see how it all plays out tomorrow night, and we'll break it down on Thursday from Chicago. Thank you for this, Bob.
All right. We'll get over to do some scouting reports for the players on Thursday and Friday.
I'll be mailing that in, buddy.
Mail it in Friday. The draft's on a Friday, brother.
Yeah, you know it.
Well, it should be a fun ride. We're only on the air for 7 hours.
Oh, there's be some mailing it in.
I need your A game on Friday night.
Dude, there's no A game for these kids. I don't know these kids.
Hey, he goes from horse bleep to...
That's right. Greg Reiner to horse bleep real quick.
Actually, he's going to go from horse bleep to AWOL on Friday night. Yeah. He's going to start bad, and then partway through the night, he's just not going to be there. He's going to disappear.
Ninja dust.
There will be phantom bathroom breaks.
I was just going to say, there will be like 30-minute bathroom breaks.
No one can pull off a bathroom break like you. I've never seen it before. Mic off. I got to go. Like a 5-year-old in the car on a long road trip.
I was going to pull the infamous piss up here.
Yeah. Love that move. Don't plant seeds, Bob. I need this guy on Friday night. All right, man. Enjoy yourself down there.
All right, guys. Thanks a lot.